Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, June 20th, 2013. A new art gallery has opened in Hamilton with the unique perspective of displaying art by those who work from, quote, a broadly conceived Christian worldview, end quote. Tonight's guest, artist and educator James Tugan, is one of those involved with the startup of the flagship gallery, and he's on the phone with us tonight to give us some insight into the gallery's aim and establishment. We'll talk to James in a few moments, but first let's listen to You're Pretty But You're Hollow from the Under Sky CD by Hark the Herons. Matt Orner with James Tugan. Good evening, James.
Good evening.
Now, just before we get to a little bit about the flagship, the news about the flagship gallery, I want to give our chance to our listeners a chance to know a little bit about you. You've been doing art now for about, what, 3 decades?
A little longer, actually, about 40 years.
About 40 years. How did you get started?
Well, like a lot of artists, I've been doing this since I was a kid, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I eventually found my way into architectural training and then theological school and eventually into fine art at Waterloo. So my first entry into the art world was through the fine art community. Partway through that, I migrated into the field of editorial illustration in Toronto and in the United States and spent perhaps the longest period of time working in that venue.
Art would be things like editorial cartoons, op-ed cartoons, things like that would illustrate the articles in that?
Actually, the field of editorial illustration, it goes way, way beyond cartooning.
Mm-hmm.
When I entered that field in the 80s, there was a renaissance within the field of illustration and design in Canada brought about by an invasion of British art directors who introduced a rather radical idea of using highly skilled fine artists in the publishing field. So I brought my experience as a fine artist into that venue. An editorial illustrator would work for magazines like Saturday Night, Atlantic Monthly, any number of publications that people know about. But the quality of the work was highly interpretive,
mm-hmm.
and The Canadians were right at the forefront of that in the world.
So that would have been doing things like covers and stuff like that as well then?
Some covers are involved. A lot of internal articles. You get to do a lot of different kinds of things, and the difference with the fine art world is that you get paid for selling copyright, and you have to work fairly quickly, but you have to work in combination with writers to offer some kind of interpretive perspective on what the writer has written. It's more of a collaborative environment, and but it's exciting, and it's very, very public. The advantage that an illustrator has of having a public voice is that your work is seen by far, far more people, and it engages the public in a way that doesn't even happen in the fine art world.
Now, is there a challenge with that, too? Sometimes people don't sort of really connect an artist's name with the work that they're doing.
Oh, absolutely. We tend to be invisible, and you have to turn the page to see the fine print in the gutter as to who the artist was.
Yeah, and fortunately, I'm one of the ones that actually looks at that.
That's great.
So, now, one of the things that you've got into as well as you were going along was something called cartographic realism. How did you get into that and sort of explain what that is? Because I know when I was doing some research on you, that's the term that keeps coming forward about the type of art that you do.
In the field of realism, there are a lot of different evolving schools, of course, like in any artistic style group. And in my case, the visual realism that I practiced had to do with a strong interest in mapping. I've had a lot of experience with wilderness canoeing and sailing, and I've kind of been a collector of charts and maps. I have this tendency to look at surfaces and the patterns in surfaces and the aesthetics of those surfaces as places of great, you know, beauty and complexity. And I also find that they carry associations for myself and for other people when they look at them. So it kind of got me into the realm of metaphor. So I have a tendency to kind of look at things from a bird's eye point of view. Mm-hmm. That's what gave me a bit of a leg up in the illustrative world, because no one else was doing that then. But as you know, as an exhibiting fine artist, my work tends to be focused on the floor of the forest or of surfaces of different kinds, and treating those as the sort of wonderful micro world. That's where the term comes from.
Right. Well, one of the things too is you also turn to educating. You've spent time at Redeemer University College, Tyndale. What got you started in the area of teaching?
Well, the honest answer to that is I actually made a decision to leave the illustrative world out of a certain amount of frustration with not having enough opportunity to work more closely with the design director's end. Illustrators tend to get used as pairs of hands in the process. And I think I had a decent design mind, and I wanted to work more in that area. I was given an opportunity through a friend to come and teach a course at Redeemer, and I needed the income, and I jumped into it and discovered that I really loved it. And I kind of had a background in teaching in the area of swimming and canoeing anyway, and so I kind of morphed into a natural mentor, I think. And I had some concerns about things in our own community, about the lack of instruction or mentoring for young artists. So I had a chance to kind of get in and address that.
How has that changed in terms of that aspect of mentoring young artists and that? Because I know that for a long time there was a lack of emphasis, especially within the church world, the Christian world, of freeing up people and saying, go, you know, be an artist. Is that changing and people are finding a little more freedom to explore the artistic side of things?
There is a renaissance going on right now around the world of pockets of a renewed interest in the arts. I'm not sure if you're aware of the history of the Lausanne Congress, but of Imago.
Mm-hmm.
My friend John Franklin and I and Phyllis Novak from the Sketch Ministry in Toronto had a chance to lead discussions back in 2004.
Was that where the Redeeming the Arts paper came out of?
That's correct.
Yeah.
We had a chance to take a look at what was going on all over the world. We had 60 arts leaders from all over the world in those discussions, and what we learned, of course, is that the downdraft, if you like, from the Reformation had left a lot of damage, and the inability of a lot of parts, many segments of the Christian community, to understand artistic language, and there was a need to address that. And of course, in the last 10 years, there's been a lot of things that have started up all over the place,
mm-hmm.
that are reasons for great hope. I think still there is something of a lack of a support system for artists internally, but there are pockets of great things happening. They tend to be dispersed where the artists feel they can go to be safe, you
mm-hmm.
know.
And that's one of the things I want to continue and talk about is because that's one of the I think one of the reasons that Flagship Gallery has started up, from what I've been able to see. So we're going to take a quick break and continue our conversation with James Tugan and find out more about the Flagship Gallery in Hamilton. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Connection. You've been listening to A New Start to Start from Hark the Herons Under Sky CD. Well, I still haven't heard word on whether Kaylin Tidd, who now lives in Kingston, or former Down Here bassist Glenn Lavender, who now lives in Williamsburg, Virginia, are planning to do more with Hark the Herons, but as soon as they let people know what's going on, I'll make sure that you know as well. I'm your host, Robert White, and what we're going to do is continue our conversation with artist James Tugan. James, where did the whole idea behind the Flagship Gallery come from?
Well, the Flagship Gallery is kind of the a later piece of a story behind what Semaphore is. Semaphore began as an attempt to try to support artists inside our own community of faith, and one of parts of that story further down the road was that some of us who were teaching at Redeemer University were looking for ways to support our grads and our students to have a little bit of an easier time breaking into the marketplace with their work. When you graduate and you have compiled a significant amount of student debt, you know, for your education, mm-hmm. and you're asked to jump into a market where it's routine for dealers to take, you know, 50%, it's not an easy thing to do,
mm-hmm.
And my boss, Chris Cottle, who's a member of our group, and I went looking for space in the James North Art Crawl District in downtown Hamilton, looking for ways to give our students a chance to show their work for the first time, give them some exposure to the market, and begin to engage how an artist is supposed to represent themselves and, you know, market their work. So we started looking for space, and we think God gave us an extraordinary opportunity to get in at a street level shop right in the very heart of the Crawl District.
Mm-hmm.
That happens to be right in the center of it, and a double storefront street level space that used to be a butcher shop, and that was that then occupied by an architect. And he waited for us while we raised the funds and the membership to occupy the space. So that led to forming a cooperative. So it was meant in the first place to support some younger artists and give them some business experience.
And this isn't the first time sort of a Christian presence in that area has been there. There was an Imago event a couple of years ago, or last year I believe it was, that was part of the Art Crawl.
That's right.
Experience. So I mean that aspect of artists with a Christian worldview displaying their art and expressing that is already part of what's going on in that area.
John Franklin, the director of Imago, was fortunate enough to be loaned a space for one evening. It was an unfinished space that's now occupied by the Art Gallery of Hamilton, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It was done as an experiment for one night on an art crawl in May, I believe, a couple of years ago, and to everyone's, it was a bit of a revelation how many people went through that space in one evening. This art crawl that happens the second Friday night of every month has routinely 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people walk a six-block stretch of galleries and cafes and so on, and art studios, and that night maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people went through this one space, and it happened to have in it a number of the drawings and paintings of some of our students, and they were the highlight of what was in the room. There were some professionals there as well, and it was an amazing revelation to John and to Imago, and that kind of got it started, and after that we just kept looking.
Mm-hmm. Looking at that, and you're talking about students and sort of helping them at it, how big of a challenge is it for someone who is an artist, and especially an artist with a Christian worldview, to try to break into the art world and get to the point where, I mean, I've had discussions in the past about the economics of art and the challenges that artists face, but how much of a challenge is it for those that are just coming out of the institution, the school area, to try and develop that and build that to the point where they're able to have enough of a body of work to exhibit?
Well, you've kind of put your finger on one of the first issues, is having enough of a body of work that's cohesive. One of the functions of being a student is that you do a little bit of everything, and you tend to come out of school with not a lot of something in one focused area. And usually, you know, a one-person show is more focused like that and is a little less all over the map. So one of the things that's actually hard to do when you get out is to put together a one-person show that has some breadth to it and some focus. Hopefully when, we'd like to think that in school we're helping people develop a sense of awareness of what is unique about how they see and how their particular artistic language works. I think it helps if you can get through a lot of that in school. I think most artists that I know, when they're starting out, would be, their first concern is the quality of excellence in their design skills and the way they handle the media they work in. They just want the work to stand up, you know, professionally.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little bit more complicated matter being having a cohesive view about how their work represents something that comes has its roots in a Christian worldview. That takes a little bit longer to resolve, perhaps. But takes a lot of work, and they have to be very, very dedicated, and they have to be willing to live with a certain amount of poverty in our culture, I think.
Yeah, it's starving artist period of your career.
You know, for a lot of artists, the act of marketing and the act of self-representation sometimes seems to be a challenge. I find a lot of artists are very insightful about their work, but they have to learn how to push it out there.
Yeah,
present it and talk about it.
Well, having worked in newspapers and as a journalist, I've often found that there's a different skill set and even personality set between the people in the advertising area who are the salespeople and are selling the product, and those who are actually creating it at the editorial end. And I find a lot of artists struggle with that marketing salesperson mindset to try and you know, turn off the creative side and now become the business person.
I find also that a lot of visual artists in particular are often very self-critical, and it kind of gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's difficult to be comfortable with putting yourself forward if you're kind of fighting yourself from inside.
Mm-hmm.
That has absolutely nothing to do with how passionate they are about what they're doing and how heartfelt it is, and often how insightful it is. It just, we have some work to do sometimes, I think, about being articulate about what it is we're doing,
mm-hmm.
and being comfortable with doing that, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's take one final break, and after that, we'll wrap up our conversation with artist James Tugan. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Fabricated from Hark the Herons Under Sky CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up tonight's conversation with artist James Tugan. One more thing about the about Flagship Gallery is one of the descriptions of the gallery says that it's working from a broadly conceived Christian worldview. The collective of artists seeks to engage in questions of meaning, faith, and culture. What does that really mean for the artist who's part of the exhibits, and as well as the patrons that are attending the gallery and looking at the art?
Well, my answer to that is that I think it's the responsibility of every artist, whether they're a sculptor or a painter or a printmaker or whatever it is, to have some understanding of how what we know as Christians and the levels of reality we're exposed to as Christians somehow penetrate how we use visual language. I think one of the distinctives that a Christian can bring to the culture milieu is that they are aware of more levels of reality than just what you can see and touch. And this includes, you know, realms of psychology and emotional insight, but also, you know, insight about the human condition and about the land we live on and the cultures we're seated in, and to, you know, look for ways of being both, you know, subtle and insightful about how we express that. I think the artists who happen to be in our group, which is a cooperative, are extremely talented. If people come and visit us there, they'll be amazed at the quality of the work technically. But there's a lot of work in the gallery that suggests an awareness of things like metaphor and story.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are some people from our faith community who might find us a little, less obvious and direct.
Right.
But, but there are layers embedded inside of good work that have nuance to them.
Right. Well, what are some of the things that are happening at the gallery in the next little while?
The next one-person show coming up is by a wonderful painter from Paris, Ontario, called Jeanette Aubinck. She opens on June 28th. We're still working on the follow-up exhibition to that. We have other things like a musical performance by Scott Orr on July 5th. The incredible poet John Terpstra from Hamilton is going to be there for an evening on August 14th. And in August, we're running a juried children's show because we've done a lot of work with kids and with teens in the past. And this show we're dedicating to the work of children. And that show is going to be juried by some of our members.
Great.
And that opens on the 16th of August. So if there are kids out there who want to do a piece of work for us, they can contact us for a call for entries form.
Great. Well, where can people find out more information about the Flagship Gallery?
We have a website that is just about to go up live. They can also call us at 905-577-8585. They can call me personally if they would like. My number at home is 582-8197, area code 905.
And there's also a Facebook page as well.
Yes, correct.
Yep.
The gallery is open Wednesdays to Saturdays from 12 to 5 p.m., except evenings where we have events or where there's openings for exhibitions.
Mm-hmm.
And the crawl, of course, which is an amazing experience, is the second Friday night of every month of the year.
Great. Well, James, thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, James Tugan. Be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email Robert at Selaw Ministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at Selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.